Many classical results already intended to the general case. By general case, we mean non-Euclidean space, arbitrary measurable space, or formal non-algebras. Unfortunately, for a subject which involve with geometric structure of the Euclidean space, it's usually hard to get such extension. For example, some kind of integral on coins and cubes. This kind of technique used very often in the classical analysis, but we haven't got some satisfying analog in the abstract case. So the tensor space is a typical example of such a subject. Its definition is using integral on the coins and the cubes, which are related heavily on the geometric structure of Euclidean space. The tensor space is well adapted for many subjects in the classical analysis. One of them is the H1 BMO duality theory. So that's one of the motivation we want to study these tensor spaces. And let me first briefly remind you what's the tensor space on Euclidean space. Let me just restricted on the upper half plane. This make me easier to give the definition. So the tensor space were introduced by Kaufman, Mayer, and Stein in 1980s. So we consider a function which is defined on the upper half plane. We consider such a square function. So this square function is an integral on the coin. The coin is with vertex x0 and with the right vertex angle. So precisely it's given in this way. So this square function, the tensor space TP for P finite is characterized by the LP norm of this square function. So the hell you consider the integral in the coin. One remark is that this vertex angle is not really crucial. In fact, this doesn't have to be a right angle. If you consider other angle, you will get the equivalent norms. So that's the tensor space for P finite. And for P infinity, that you consider the square function, but not in the coin, but the square function for the integral in the cube. Okay, that's a cube that's with for every I is the integral on the real line, you consider I times the 0 to the length of I, you get a cube. So you consider this square function in the cube, and you define the P infinity space is just the R infinity norm of this square function. That's for the case for P equals to infinity. Immediately we can see that this P infinity is related to the Carlson measure. Well, Carlson measure has many equivalent definitions. One of them is the following. So that's a Carlson measure on the half plane is just if in each box with length I, the measure on this box is bounded by the length of the edge. So that's so we can see from this definition we can see that a function f is in T infinity if and only if this measure is a Carlson measure. Okay. Other basic properties, one of the crucial property of this tensor space is that we have the duality relation for these tensor spaces. That's the dual of TP is TQ. The crucial point is T1. The T1's dual is T infinity. And also for P bigger than 2, the LP norm of these two square functions are equivalent. Another relation, this tensor space is related to the Hardy spaces. Simply you set this F comes from the gradient of the harmonic extension of some function G, then you get this square function is just the loosely integral of the function G on the real line. So you get this TP norm of this F is just the HP norm of the Hardy space HP norm of the function G and T infinity is equal to the Bare volume by the constant matter, the relation of constant matter and BMO. Okay, so now our problem is want to study this tensor space for general case. So for example, how we define this tensor space for functions on a Lie group, for functions on an arbitrary mirror space, or even in the non-commutative functions for elements from a polynomial algebra. So the difficulty is that the integral on cones and the cubes are not available because we don't know how to define this geometric structure or matrix structure on this general case. However, you can always study this LP space. Okay, if you have a arbitrary mirror space, you can always study LP space, and semigroup of operators normally are available. For example, you consider L2 of omega, and you started from an unbounded operator on L2 with a conditionally negative curl, then you always get a positive semigroup by considering E2TL. This is always available. So our idea is that we want to consider this tensor space by consider semigroup on LP spaces of arbitrary mirror space. So let me remind you what's a semigroup of positive operator. So the semigroup of positive operator we want to consider is in the following, we're given an arbitrary mirror space. Now we consider a semigroup of operators Ty defined on this LP space. We want the following usual condition, that Ty is a contraction. It's a norm smaller than 1. It's symmetric. This one is not necessary, but for convenience, we just said it's symmetric. That's Ty equals to its adjoint operator on L2. And T send 1 to 1. And also it's continuous at 1 equals to 0. Note this, the first condition and the third condition also implies that Ty is a positive preserving operator. This because of every contractions we send 1 to 1 on a sister algebra, this automatically positive, because I assume T is between 1 and infinity. For P equals infinity, you get a sister algebra. Okay. So what's the definition? If I have this setting, arbitrary variable space, I have a semigroup, how I define this tensor space? So one slide before that. Before that, the two classical examples. One is a Heap semigroup. That's a semigroup generated by the Laplacian operator. Laplacian is d by dx squared. So this operator is also can give by a convolution operator with the curl in this way. That's the density of a Brownian motion. Also, another classical semigroup, that's a Poisson semigroup. That's given in this way, that's the generator is the square root of negative Laplacian. It's also a convolution operator given with this curl. And we can see that they have some monotone properties. This is what I will call later. So given, but now let's not consider this a semigroup on Euclidean space, but a measurable arbitrary mirror space. I have a semigroup, so I will define the tensor space in the following way. That I consider the tensor space TP is the LP norm of the square function, but the square function is given related to the semigroup I have. Okay, so that's zero to infinity Ty Fy square dy over y. So here we consider this 0 to infinity Ty as an integral on cone. And for P bigger than 2, we consider Tp is the LP norm for this LP over 2, 1/2. So it will coincide with the classical case. With this square function, that's 0 to T, but Tt now fixed. For T fixed, Tt is fixed. We think this is the cube, integral on cube for the general case. Okay, So why this definition is reasonable? So at least it should cover the classical case. So let me explain why this cover the classical case. Then you will say it's reasonable. So let's come back to see the class. What's this? Sorry. Okay, so let's come back to see the classical definition of the tangent space. That we consider the integral on the cone. But if you look at carefully the integral on the cone, that's just the integral for each y fixed. You consider a convolution with fy, but the convolution with the curl, that's the characteristic function from negative y to y. That's because that's the cone. So now what we do is that we just replace this characteristic function by some other curl, okay? So if you have a ty is a convolution operator with a curl satisfy this condition, on this segment is bigger than a constant over y, and it decreases very fast. In particular, this ky can be the heat curl. Then this, you will see that our square function were bigger than the classical square function, and it will dominated by a summation with coefficient ck, with this ak is a square function with different angle, okay, become bigger and bigger. So you will see this, if this ky decrease very fast, then this ck will also decrease very fast. Then this, our tangent space coincides with the classical tangent space, if we consider heat curl. So that's, why our definition is reasonable. So we want to look for a condition on this semigroup such that we get good cones and good cubes, in the sense that we can have the basic property for the classical ones. In particular, we want to have the T1's dual is T infinity. So of course, we couldn't assume this can be, we couldn't expect this is true for all the semigroup. We have to have some condition. So let's go back to look at the classical example of semigroups. So this is a Hilbert semigroup. This is a Poisson semigroup. So in particular, for this Poisson semigroup, we see this has some monotone condition, in the sense that ky divided by y is decreasing with respect to y. So, and in fact, this condition is true for all the subordinated Poisson semigroup, in the sense that if I change this data to some other generator L, if E to YL, you get a positive semigroup, then you consider this E to negative, square root of negative L. This also satisfies this monotone condition. So let me give me precise what I mean, monotone, okay? So I need the following assumption, that we see a positive semigroup is cosine decreasing if ty divided by y alpha for some positive alpha is decreasing, in the sense that ty over ty2 over y2 alpha f smaller than ty1 over y1 alpha f for every f positive. So that's this decrease in the sense of positive preserving operators. It's cosine increasing, I mean that y alpha times ty increase for some alpha, okay, in the sense that applied to some positive function f is bigger than this one. We call ty is cosine monotone if it's either cosine decreasing or cosine increasing. Okay, so we see the classical Hilbert semigroup is cosine increasing, you can see from the color, and this classical Poisson semigroup is cosine decreasing. And moreover, as I said, all the subordinated Poisson semigroup is cosine decreasing. Why? So let me, so what's a general subordinated Poisson semigroup? Just giving you a positive semigroup in this way. Now the semigroup given by generated by the by the square root of negative L. So that's a analog of the classical Poisson semigroup. This is called the subordinated proton semi group, because now if you consider this PYs always satisfy this equation, so this is like the harmonicity. So that's why we call it a proton semi group. And it's well known that we have the functional calculus for this PY. The PY is the average of this TU. TU is positive. So you will see PY divided by Y is in this way, which is decreasing. So all the abstract subordinated Poisson semigroup is quasi decreasing. So we have a large class of examples satisfies our assumption. So with this assumption, our theorem 1 says that if TY is any semigroup on an arbitrary Merrill space, if it's quasi monotone, then we have this T infinity is in the dual of T1. Okay, this T infinity is defined by this TY. That means that we have this duality inequality, which is true. Because all the subordinated Poisson semigroup is quasi monotone, so we have this for free for any Poisson subordinated Poisson semigroup. Okay, so this is one direction. How about the other direction? The other direction is that if we consider a quasi monotone semigroup, we have the other direction, that T1's dual is in T infinity, if and only if we have other L1 half condition, is that for each TY, TY on F and TYG is smaller than F's L1 norm times G's L1 norm for Y positive and FG positive in L1. This condition, you can see if each TY individually is a conditional expectation, this is held automatically, because you can move TY inside if it's a conditional expectation. Then L1 half norm is smaller than L1. But, well, we don't know if it's true for other case. So, this meaning is all the euro is in this. So we have a large class of example satisfy this condition. For this condition, I gave some example is that, okay, in the classical case, if your color decreases fast enough, in fact, if it's a little bit faster than the classical Poisson semigroup, then it satisfies our L1 half condition. In fact, if KT satisfies this decreasing condition, that it decreases, how is the index R, you have N plus R. This Rn is the dimension of Rn. So phi T is any function, any positive function of T. If KT satisfies this, then it satisfies R1 half condition. Basically, it just means it decreases fast enough. In particular, the heat semigroup satisfies this condition. Because from here, we can see if I set phi T is just T to 1 half, then this one is satisfied with R equals to 2. Okay, so that's our two theorem. So I mentioned I will talk about H1 infinity. So in the classical case, the tensor space T infinity is important because it's related to the Carlson mirror. Also, it's related to the BMO. So I would like to give a relation between T infinity and the abstract BMO norm. So, giving you any semigroup, okay, so that's satisfy the Euler condition I mentioned. It's reasonable to define a BMO norm in this way. That's a phi is a function on an arbitrary Merrill space. I define the BMO norm in this way. Py phi minus py phi squared and 1 half. This coincides with the classical BMO norm. Is this Py is a classical Poisson semigroup. And also, with our other paper, we proved this satisfy a nice interpolation result. In fact, this BMO interpolated with L2, we get LP. So for this one, we have this analog of the classical T infinity and BMO relation. That the element dPy dy on phi, this tensor space T infinity norm is always smaller than size BMO law with absolutely constant. So okay, once we have this relation, then we can have our H1 BMO inequality as follows. That's our corollary one. That's okay for any Poisson subordinated Poisson semigroup, because it satisfies the monotone condition. and we use our theorem 1, 2, 3, then we get this duality inequality with SF is a square function defined in this way, because we have this T infinity norm smaller than BMO norm. But unfortunately, this square function doesn't cover the classical case, because if this PY is a classical Poisson semigroup, then the LP norm of this SF coincides with the HP norm only for P bigger than 1. So this doesn't cover the classical case. So we have to do some modification. So the modification is the following. I will change this PY to the Hidde semigroup, not the classical Hidde semigroup. I mean the general Hidde semigroup. So any cosine monotone semigroup. So how is our H1 BMO duality? Is that we change this square function to this way. That's our analog of the classical Newton area integral. Okay, so TY is any cosine monotone semigroup. PY is a semigroup subordinated to this positive semigroup. Then we have this duality. The H1's dual is BMO. More precise is that we have the duality inequality in this way. ST is defined here. And for every functional on this H1, we can find a phi in BMO, such that this phi is smaller than this BMO norm. Okay, that's all. Thank you.